Amen. Please turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read them out of the King James Bible. Whichever translation you have, let's read that out loud together. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is the foundation of our salvation, that God sent Jesus to die for all mankind, not to condemn, but to bring them to the place of salvation. Forever, we are grateful for our salvation. Amen? Well, let me preface this by saying you're not going to hear a word new today. I teased Pastor Ed last week, and I said, Pastor Ed, I'm going to tell media staff, play Pastor Ed's message from last Sunday. Because the Holy Ghost, if you've been here for the past month or so, through Pastor Ed and Pastor Greg, I encourage you to go on the website and listen to those messages, because the Holy Ghost has been speaking a thread, a common thread, regarding the power of our words, the fundamentals of our speaking, and how we are to walk this life as faith beings using our words. So today you're not going to hear anything different, or excuse me, you're not going to hear anything new. But you are going to hear it from a different perspective as the Holy Spirit turns that multifaceted diamond in another direction to make it clearer to us the power of our words. So today we're going to talk about the words of life. Turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, we're looking at verses 8 through 11. I'm going to share that out of the New King James Bible, and it says, and this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not remain there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11 is key. That's what we're highlighting. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is God speaking. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper, say prosper, in the thing for which I sent it to. I'm going to share that verse in the New Living Translation. God is comparing his word to seed time and harvest, the rain and the snow coming down. It has a purpose. So when God speaks his word, God's word has a purpose. It is to accomplish something. It is to bring something to pass. So in the New Living Translation, that says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I sent it. So when God speaks, he speaks with a confident assurance that what he has said will surely come to pass. Now let's look at what Jesus says about his words. Turn over, please, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 63. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That word life, according to Strong's, means it is the absolute fullness of life. When Jesus speaks, he's talking about a fulfillment, a fulfillment, a fulfillment. He's saying that which belongs to God only. Life that is real, it's genuine, it's active, and it's vigorous. So when Jesus speaks words, when God speaks words, because why? If you go back to the book of Genesis, the very beginning, what did God do? He spoke this world into existence. So as a spirit being, God spoke and his words produced. Jesus said that his words are spirit and they are life. They are real, they are genuine, they are active, and they are vigorous. Let's look at that same verse in the Amplified Bible. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. The words I have spoken to you, say the words Jesus speaks to me. They are spirit and they are life. They provide eternal life. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Now, the preceding verses, Jesus was preparing his disciples, letting them know that he was going to be leaving them. He was going back to the Father. So we pick it up in verse 5, and Thomas says to him, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We're highlighting Jesus says he is the real life. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary, when Jesus says that he is the life, what that refers to is Jesus as Zoe life. Life which the Father has, possesses in himself. Life which the Father gave to Jesus as the incarnate Son. Life, listen to this, that is given to men who are partakers through faith of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So that quality of life, that Zoe life, that life abundantly, that life eternally, that life that produces for good and a purpose bears in every single believer. So look at the person next to you and say, I have Zoe life in me. Now, simple question. How did we become saved? How did we receive salvation? Say it aloud, Denise. Thank you. We believe in our heart and we spoke it out of our mouth. That's in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. I'll read that for you. That if thou confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So there are two key factors. Speaking, believing. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you haven't yet realized it, it's the same way in our life where we speak. There is a connection between our mouths and our hearts. Our mouths indicate what we believe, what we're saying, and our hearts indicate what we are believing. Turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 20 through 23. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it says, My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Now, let's just look at the pattern. So God says, first of all, pay attention to what? What he says. So those are God's words, right? Whether it's the written word of God, whether it's the spoken word of God, God says, listen carefully to my words. So he's telling us, pay attention, and he's saying, listen. But the listening is not just with our natural physical ears. It's by the Spirit as well. So then he says, let them penetrate deep into your heart. There is what I call the trickle-down effect. What we listen to, what we meditate on, where's it going? It's going to our hearts. But let's look at what verse 23 in Proverbs 4 says. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. There is a connection between our mouth and our heart. Turn, please, to Proverbs 18. Pastor Ed has been covering this scripture for the past few weeks. Proverbs 18, verses 20 through 21. Out of the Amplified Bible, it says, a man's stomach will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Mm-mm. He will be satisfied with the consequences of his words. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Does that say only if you're not joking? Something to think about. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So in other words, our tongues will speak either life or they will speak either death. And we will bear the consequences of the words. Understand how significant our words are. So when God says that he speaks words of life, when Jesus says that he is the life, we as spirit beings are to imitate our Father and our Savior, and our words should be doing what? Speaking life. Listen to those same verses in the Message Bible. Makes it very clear. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. So what we speak is going to produce a harvest. Verse 21. Words kill, words give life. They either poison or fruit, you choose. Do you know that God, just as he couldn't make us get saved, we have a will? And so every single one of us had to choose to accept Christ. We had to choose to speak the words that receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Do you know that he's not going to tie up our tongue and tell us to stop talking? We have that choice. We have that ability. He gives us the word, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he gives us guidance as to how we are to speak. But because he gave us a will, God is not going to tie up our tongue and say, you can't talk. But what he does give us is wisdom if we're listening, if we're paying attention. He gives us wisdom and guidance in his word. The book of James, I love that when I was a younger Christian, I didn't like the book of James because it was too much in my face. It was telling me about me, and I wasn't at a place to receive it. But as anything, if you keep reading, if you keep listening, if you keep wanting to grow and mature at something, you will understand and receive the wisdom that God is sharing. So in the book of James, where the scripture says that it is a wise man who is slow to speak and quick to listen, and he's slow to get angry, heed that. Because everything that comes up does not necessarily have to come out. Every thought that comes in needs to be brought into subjection to the Spirit of God within us. He is that filter. So every time a thought comes, we need to ask ourselves in that quick exchange, is this going to produce life? Or is this going to produce death? Because I'm going to have a harvest of what I say. That was just a little extra, no charge for that. Reverend Marty Blackwelder, when he was here, said something key that lines up with this. Faith must be in your heart and it must be in your mouth for it to work. We all know how we can spout off scripture, anybody? And we can just rattle it off and there ain't no faith backing it up. We know the word. We are well-taught people, right? But faith must accompany our word so that it brings forth life. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Out of the New King James Bible, it says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I have believed, and therefore I spoke." We also, say, "I also believe, and therefore speak." So what I really believe, which is in my heart, is going to be indicated by what comes out of my mouth. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Our words identify what's really in our hearts. Luke chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 44 and 45. I'm going to read that first out of the New King James Bible. And it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil." Listen to this. "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." How many of us have ever been in a conversation with someone or in a public setting, and we're hearing this person talk and talk and talk, and based on what they're saying, we can tell what's really going on with them? You stay in a person's presence long enough, you can tell where their heart is going by the words that they speak. Because according to scripture, our words identify what's in our mouth, what's coming out of our mouths. So if I'm constantly speaking what I see, what I feel, what I think, what I hear, my brother Curtis is here, and we were teasing him last night because we were in a conversation about something, and he said, and they said, and they say, and they say. So finally, my sister and I looked at him and say, "Who's the they?" You know how we always say, "They said." But yeah, as Pastor Sarah says, "Ums said." But the reality of it is we often do that. Well, you know, "they say" we're talking about the government. "They said" we're talking about the economy. "They said" we're talking about issues. "They said mama told us this." "They said." But the reality of it is, unless we know what's in the heart, the only thing we can judge by is what we hear coming out of the mouth. And the reality of it, people, what we listen to, what we watch, what we meditate on is going down into our hearts and it's going to come out of our mouths. But just like God, who is spirit being, scripture tells us that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. Think about that. If God were going by what he naturally saw, he would have closed up heaven long time ago and said, "Let them perish in their sins." If God were going by the natural, he wouldn't have sent his very best for all mankind. But God, being spirit, being used his words to speak out salvation. Go back through the Old Testament and look at the Old Testament prophets. He spoke the word of his Redeemer. He spoke the word of his salvation down through the generations. Why? Because he was calling forth what he knew his words would bring to pass. Should not we be doing the same? Understand this, family, we are spirit beings. And so while we live in a natural world, while we experience things in the natural, everybody goes through conflict, right? Everybody has issues and challenges and situations, right? But God looks at his body and says, "Are you living from the inside out, or are you bound by your natural settings?" Because living from the inside out takes from the spirit man and speaks what God has said in the midst of natural circumstances and conditions. Why do you think he tells us to pray for our leaders in authority? He's not moved by the party. He's not moved by the politics. He's not moved by the words, the Twitter, the email, or anything else that comes out. He's looking at the church and saying, when are you going to do it like I do? Speak what I say. That's why he tells us to pray for them, so that there is an entrance of God's word in government, turning it the way he wants it to go. But when we as Christians, hear me now, the body of Christ, when we speak what we see in the media, when we speak what we see on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all of that, we are perpetuating a natural issue. Meanwhile, God is saying, I told you to speak life there. I told you to pray about that situation and pray according to my word. You are not bound by natural circumstances. Jesus came in flesh as a man with the Spirit of God. And he demonstrated how to live as a Christian in the earth. He is our example. And scripture tells us that Christ, who was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, he was dealt the biggest blow of all kind, the rejection, the abandonment, even on the cross, when in the natural it seemed like his Father forsook him. Yet he knew, he absolutely was assured, I'll go this way in obedience because it pleases my Father. Because if you go back in the book of John, he says about his resurrection, he was coming back again. So he knew by speaking the words, I will return, he was putting out a seed. And that seed was going to produce a harvest. Why do you think when Satan came to Jesus to tempt him, and told him, if you will just bow down before me, if you will just speak the words of pressure and lack and pain and discouragement and anger and frustration and give it up and bow down before me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. What did Jesus say? It is written. He spoke what his Father recorded. Should we do any less? Every one of us is faced with natural circumstances. And God looks at us and says, but are you speaking words of life? Let's continue. So we looked at Luke chapter 6, verses 44 and 45 out of the New King James Bible. Let's listen to this out of the New Living Translation. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. And grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. Verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I did not write this. What you say flows from what is in your heart. How does God use his words? Turn over to Romans chapter 4. I shared with you before, God speaks life. Jesus is Zoe life. That Zoe life dwells in every single one of us. But in Romans chapter 4, we're going to key in just on verse 17, the latter part. It says in the New King James Bible, and this is God speaking to Abraham, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, those of Bible scholars here, when God first spoke to Abraham, was he 29 years old? Did he have a 25-year-old wife? Did he have seven children and, you know, four boys, three girls? When God spoke to Abraham, did Sarah conceive the next month, the next year, next decade? Let's keep reading. So God says to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. At that time, Abraham was 75 years old. Sarah was barren. And yet God is saying to him, I've made you, God's spirit, life, Zoe life, says to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. And in the presence of him whom he believed, God, Abraham believed God. Why? God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God speaks it, and he fully expects it to happen. That's where our faith comes in. That's where the heart and the mouth connection must be, because we can't just speak it, but we've got to believe it. And this word is meant to cause every one of us, myself included, to examine our hearts. Because out of our hearts, the abundance comes out of our mouth, right? So if what's coming out of my heart is not, what's coming out of my mouth, excuse me, does not line up with what God is saying, I need to do a heart examination. I'm not talking about anybody in this room or anybody online. I'm talking about me. I'll use myself as the example. So don't think that I'm picking on anybody. How many times have I prayed about something, a situation, whether it was a boss, whether it was a family member, whether it was a situation in my community, in my government, whatever. And I'm praying about it according to what I know from Scripture as the Holy Spirit is guiding me. So I'm over here sowing words, putting out words of life. I'm sowing seed. Day one goes by, person doesn't change, situation doesn't change. I go over here and I start talking about what they ain't doing. I start talking about what's not happening. I start talking about what I'm feeling, what I'm hearing, and I ain't liking this. What happens to that seed over there that I planted? It becomes ineffective. As we're going to see in James chapter 3, you cannot bless and curse out of the same mouth. We are not to be double-minded. So if I'm praying, hear me, family, if a wife is praying about her husband, if a husband is praying about his wife, if parents are praying about their children, if the church is praying for their pastors, if you're praying about your job, if you're praying about your family, if you're praying about healing, and you're sowing all these seeds, but then time goes on and things don't look like they're changing. They may even seem to get worse and they contradict what words you've been speaking of life. What do we do? Do we use our words then to speak what is as opposed to what we've prayed? Because God is saying to us, you can't plant seeds of life and then go behind it and put weed killer on it and expect to reap a harvest of life. It ain't gonna happen. So we must be mindful of the words we speak, because those words are evidence of what's really in our heart. So if I am contradicting myself by praying something over here, and then when I get frustrated, annoyed, tired, angry, bothered, and I come over here and I speak evil and wrong and negative about what I've prayed over there, I am a double-minded man. And I cannot expect a harvest of what I've prayed for. It's not going to happen. So what God is saying, look at our hearts and allow him by the Holy Spirit. This is to bring about conviction, not condemnation. God does not condemn, but he's always about going after the precious fruit that produces. And there are times when God has to do the examination and say, let's talk about this area. And as Pastor Ed has been sharing with us in the book of James over and over, our tongues, if you're like me, your mouth will get you in trouble if you don't control it. When I was a child, my mother used to always say to me, your mouth. And I said, just like yours. But I said it at a distance where she couldn't hit me. That's right. I said it at a distance where she couldn't hit me. I know where I came from. We celebrated my mom's 92nd birthday yesterday, and I thank God for her life. Hallelujah. She's at church now praising Jesus. Hallelujah. But anywho, Whatever has been sown into our hearts, that's what's going to come out of our mouths. Now, let's just take a little history lesson here. Again, I'm using myself. If, as a child, I grew up hearing words of negativity, I grew up hearing you'll never amount to anything good, I grew up hearing that you're so dumb and you're so ugly and you'll never be anything of value. If I were told in school, you need to take a vocational job because you don't have the aptitude to get a degree for something greater. If I am told in my family and in my community and friends, oh, you're just so stupid. Oh, you just don't have what it takes. You're not like that person. Those words have permeated my life. And if I didn't know any better, I believed them. I let them fester in my heart. I've meditated on them. And eventually, they're going to come out of my mouth. We shape and frame our world by the words that we speak. That is why it is so key. Parents, guardians, uncles, aunts, sisters, brothers, be mindful of the words you speak over children and youth, even when they don't line up with what you are saying. Speak about them what God says. If you can't find it in scripture, ask God to tell you how to pray for your children. If your spouse is not lining up with what God says a spouse should be as the head of the home, the priest in the home, ask God to show you how to pray for him. If your wife is not honoring you or respecting you as the head in the home, ask God to pray over, to teach you how to pray for her. And then use those words to sow the seed that you can expect to reap that harvest. If you are on a job, hallelujah. If you are in a ministry, if you are serving and there are issues and conditions that are not perfect, and they're not lining up with what you know is right and good, not in my opinion, according to God's standard, because my opinion is faulty, it's limited. But if you are in a natural setting, whether it is school, whether it's a family, whether it's a job, whether it's a ministry, if we keep rehearsing what we see, what we feel, what we hear, what we think, how do we expect a harvest of anything different? It does not negate that that stuff is going on. But God is saying to us, go by the Spirit above it. Do what I do. How many of us, since we accepted Christ, we've missed it? I'm in good company today. Hallelujah. I'm not out here by myself. Thank you, Jesus. But there are some of us, we will acknowledge we've missed it. We failed. We either said or did or didn't say or did something that we shouldn't have done, right? Did God close up the book on you and say you are out of here? What he spoke about you from creation, he still expects that to manifest. So God looks at us and says, when are you going to get it? So look at the person. We have a very familiar saying we use in society, and that word is, we usually are referring to, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just saying what's real. And you'll know what I'm going to say, right? I'm just saying. That's what we do, right? I'm just saying. Because we're talking about what's happening, right? We're making it real and we're making it plain. But God, when preparing for this message, God said to me, look at the person next to you and say, what are you really saying? Because if those words that I'm just saying don't line up with what God has said, don't bear life and productivity, then should we be saying them? You can go to God about anything. I love that. You can talk to God about, you can tell God when you don't like something. He ain't gonna fall off the throne. He knows it already. But do you know he is the absolute best listener? Because he is the one that has the answer to tell us what to do. But then when we go out of the place of safe harbor and we go to our girlfriend and we go to our friends and we get on the phone and we send the email and we get in our little huddle and we start talking about the natural, we start talking about what we experienced, we start talking about what they said, we start talking about what we feel, And God says, wait a minute, you came to me first. I gave you a script of what to do. What can they offer you? Did they die on the cross for you? God is the answer. So let's go back to the word and see what God says about what are we really saying. God tells us how we are to speak. Turn over, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. I pray you're getting something out of this. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 29. I'm going to read that out of the New King James Bible. This is God speaking, and he says through the Apostle Paul, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification means building up and growing, strengthening, encouraging. So I'm going to change that right there. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary encouragement, strengthening, building up, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Now look at the person next to you and say again, what are you really saying? Out of the Amplified Bible, that same verse says, do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing. Say blessing. You know, we confess often that we're blessed to be a blessing, and that is true. Our words should be a blessing, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear what you speak. Now, in the New King James Bible, it says that it may impart grace to the hearers. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, we are saved how? That grace brought us eternal life. That grace brought us into a posterity, into a future, into a hope. Go to Jeremiah, write it down, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. That's what God says about us. So when he says here in Ephesians 4 that our words should impart grace to the hearers, we need to be mindful and ask ourselves, are my words imparting life? Are they imparting favor? Now, I realize that I'm not being naive in this. I realize that there are some settings and situations where you may have to say something that's tight. And you know what I mean by that. That it's not flowery. You're going to have to be real and say, okay, whether it's correction, whether it's addressing something. But even in that, God will give us the way to say it, that it does not tear down, it promotes and builds up. I was told of a story that there was this manager years ago that no matter what anybody did, the worst thing they could ever do in that work environment, whenever they went in this manager's office for it to be addressed, they came out thankful. Not that the manager overlooked. Yeah, the manager had to address some tight situations and tell people where they were off and where they were wrong and where they missed it. But the manager also gave guidance to know how to show you to correct it. That's the grace. To know that I'm not going to beat you down, period. Because if I see you like Christ sees you, which is how we're supposed to see one another, because I see you like Christ sees you, I see you as valuable. So even if I have to address a situation that's tight, sensitive, correction, there is a manner and a way to address it that we are speaking life and health to a situation, building up, encouraging, giving someone the pathway to do it right, as opposed to telling them, you just messed up and you are wrong. How does that leave a person? How many of us, let's raise our hands again, have ever missed it and had to be corrected by God? When he corrects, God chastens us because he loves us. but he wants and he's going after the precious fruit. So when he corrects us, his purpose is never to defeat or to destroy us. It's never for our harm. It's to guide us to the path of life that gets us straight in the way that we're to go. Because ultimately, God, who speaks life, is looking to our future. So he recognizes that while there may be a bump or a hiccup in the road right here, that he has to help us get back in place. He's ultimately guiding us to our purpose, to our future, to our destination. Why would he destroy us in the process with his words? We don't have a right to do it to anybody else either. It is key, family, to know the power of our words. And that when we speak, one, it indicates what's really in our hearts. And if you turn over, please, to Romans chapter 12, God tells us how to address our words by our heart. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 2, because a key way to change the way we speak is to change the way we think. Because what we focus or meditate on is going in our hearts and it's going to come out of our mouth. But if I change what's going into my heart, then I'm going to change what's coming out of my mouth. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 out of the New Living Translation says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Verse 2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." Talking about our natural setting. Don't imitate what we see, feel, think, and hear. God knows it's there. But he's speaking to us as spirit beings who have the Zoe life of Christ in us. So he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how or learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we change what's going in our heart by the way we change our thinking, we will change our words. And when we change our words, we'll change our world. But if we keep staying in a zone that we're stuck and we can't get past this, then guess what? We're going to reap the harvest of what we're speaking in that zone as stuck. But if we are willing, I have to say, and I'm going to be very transparent. I don't like everything that I hear in ministry. I don't like it. I don't agree with everything I see and I have to encounter. But the reality of it is two key factors. God didn't put me in charge. So he's teaching me how to submit. And in that, he's also giving me opportunity when he gives me wisdom and guidance how to infiltrate and insert the things that are needed to bring about the course of change that he wants. But in the process, God is saying to me, but I'm watching your heart and I'm listening to your words. So if your heart is still festering, if your heart is still meditating, if your heart is still rehearsing, because all of this comes from our mental activity, right? Some may say, well, I didn't say it, I just thought it. Mm-hmm. Do you know scripture tells us it's in Psalms? That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So God reads the meditations of our heart. And it's not just the word we've been meditating on. Sometimes we've been meditating on stuff too long. And God is saying it's time to Roto-Rooter that out. And let him, he's not denying that it's wrong. He's not denying that it's out of order. But what he is saying is, if you as a spirit being will trust the Almighty God who speaks life into every situation, then when we change our thinking and change our words, we give him something to work with to bring about the good that he desires. Selah. In Luke chapter 1, when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to conceive a child and that the Holy Spirit was going to hover over her and impregnate her with this righteous seed. In other words, she was not going to have intercourse with a man. This was going to be done by God. This was a young teenage girl. And even after she said, well, how can this be so? And the angel explained it to her. Mary's words were, be it unto me according to thy word. Are we saying that in situations? Are we saying what God has said when doctors' reports tell us differently? When bank accounts look differently? When family, spouses, children's jobs, ministries, and everything else says something differently? Because believe me, family, there are a lot of voices out there in this world, right? But let our voice be heard speaking God's word in life. Also in Luke, when Mary went to her cousin Elizabeth, after the angel told her that Elizabeth, who had been barren, was now pregnant with child, when Mary stepped into Elizabeth's presence, by the Spirit of God, Elizabeth said to her, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Out of the New Living Translation, it says, you are blessed. Look at the person next to you and say this. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Now look at the person on the other side of you and now say, so what are you really saying? I guarantee you the next time you go to say, I'm just saying, you're going to remember this. And that's an opportunity to check what's coming out of our mouths and to examine what's really in our hearts. Because God is saying to us, speak life. And even in a setting where you say, God, there just ain't nothing good to speak about this thing, do what James says, keep your mouth shut. I'm paraphrasing it. That's Dee Dee's way of paraphrasing it. Keep your mouth closed. Be willing to listen. Let God give you his viewpoint on it. Sometimes we think we know everything about a situation or issue, and we're ready to speak out on that. But if we are willing to be quiet long enough and ask God to give us his perspective, I guarantee you, he will show us more than we thought we knew. And that way, we can speak words of life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I pray to God this has encouraged, helped, blessed, answered, settled some things. Because if you're like me, it was hard for me to chew this in studying. There were times when I just sat there and looked at the scripture and went, That's all I could say. Speak, Lord, thy servant is listening. Because in reality, let's be real, family, don't we want to grow? Don't we want to come past the places that we keep stumbling at? That's what this walk of faith is, to continually improve and grow to be more like Jesus. Well, God, one key way he's addressing it with us is our words and the way that we meditate in our heart.